All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
A HoopBall presentation. This episode is brought to you by Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Get some delicious coffee. Taste the Kona difference. Head over to HawaiianIsles.com. You can also find their amazing coffee at Amazon. My name is Adrian Benjamins, and I am joined on this lovely Monday evening by Corbin. Corbin, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, Adrian, I'm doing great, and I'm happy to be on. We got a good slate of games on tonight, and, I mean, it's always fun doing the box score breakdown. I'm excited to be a part of it today.
I'm excited, man, to have you on. I think you and I are going to be the Monday night team going forward, and, Corbin, I'm pretty excited about it, man. Let's get the week started off right, man. Let's get the listeners going to start the weeks. And
yes, sir.
Just as you said, man, we got a really good slate of games, and this could go long, man. We got 9 games, so let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into it. But super quick, anything? Did any trades go down that I missed? Anything newsworthy that you think we need to talk about before we jump into the box scores? Nothing that I can think of.
Yeah, no real NBA news. I mean, the Rockets had their protest of that Spurs game denied. That was hilarious. And then we'll get to what happened later on today with the Rockets. But that was the fun little newsworthy note of the day.
Man, we will save that talk for when we get to the Rockets. But, man, absolutely ridiculous that they actually maybe wanted to replay, like, the last – what was it, 5 or 6 minutes of the game or something like that? That is a ridiculous request by the Rockets. And real quick, I just gotta say, man, I feel like the Rockets just come across looking just kind of petty and kind of bad by the whole thing. It's like, man, the refs miss calls all the time. Some of them are really catastrophic to the ending of a game, and for them to kind of make a big deal. Now, I do understand this one was a little weird. Like, it's very rare you see a ball go into the hoop, come back out, and get missed. But anyways, we'll touch more on it when we get to the Rockets side. Corbin, let's start with, I believe the first game was the Los Angeles Clippers and the Indiana Pacers. The Clippers getting the victory 110-99. I actually thought this was going to be a lot closer because no Kawhi Leonard, second game of back-to-backs, load management for Kawhi, nothing new there. We know that, we know the story. I'm going to look in on the Clippers side of this game first. I guess I'll start with Paul George. So with no Kawhi in this lineup, Paul George sees a big spike in usage and production and definitely did not let down tonight. 36 points, one block, two steals, five assists with nine rebounds. He shot 7 of 16 from downtown, 9 of 11 from the line, 10 of 26 from the field. Pretty great game from Paul George. A guy who, even though he's coming off the bench, one of the better options on this team, Montrezl Harrell, 26 points with 8 rebounds. He added a block and assist, shot 12 of 22 from the field. Pat Beverly, this is actually a beautiful game from Pat Beverly. You know, the scoring's never going to be super high, only 11 points, but the three steals, five assists, 12 rebounds, added a three, just filling it up in a lot of these other categories. So you love that if you played Pat Beverly or if he's on your roster. Mo Harkless with 8 points and 14 rebounds, but he's pretty hard to trust in standard leagues. Zubac is getting the start, but only playing 20 minutes. It's Harrell that's the center that you want there. You know, Zubac did have a decent game, 13 points with 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block on 5 of 7 shooting. So if you deep leaguers, if you're rolling with Zubac, this isn't a bad game from him. The other guy who's definitely relevant in standard leagues is Lou Williams. A down game from him, man. Shooting was rough for Lou Will. He definitely had trouble shooting the ball. Was only 2 of 19 from the field for 6 points, 1 block, 6 assists. So he'll see better days for sure. And then other than that, not really much else to talk about. The rest of these guys, I hope you are not counting on. Again, no Kawhi. Corbin, what are your thoughts on the Clippers?
I mean, you broke it down really well. I thought Paul George had an amazing night. I mean, especially on the volume from three and the conversion rate there. 36 points, I mean, you know you're getting that, but especially on nights that Kawhi's out, which is kind of hard to plan for, except, you know, on DFS, it was a great showing for him. Pat Beverly, like you said, just a perfect stat line. Like, wow, the triple, like, it feels like, with how impactful his points were, it's almost like if someone's getting a triple-double in that position, in my opinion, just because he gives you so much on that side.
Yeah.
With the rebounding, with the passing, that, you know, like you said, he's not going to be a high-volume point guy, but that doesn't even matter with everything else that he's bringing. So that's awesome. But aside from that, I'll swing right on over to the Pacers because you pretty much nailed it.
Sounds good.
All right. So you had the big guy, really, for the Pacers, at least points-wise, was Malcolm Brogdon. 20 points, 7 of 15 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3. 4-4 from the line, 2 assists, 2 steals. Really giving you a little bit of everything there. Not too much on the assist front, but, I mean, he kind of paced the Pacers offensively, so we'll take that. Next, Domantas Sabonis, who's just been a stud this year. 18 points, 22 rebounds, 7 of 18 from the field. Missed both his threes. Hasn't really been doing too big from out there, but 4 of 6 from the free throw line to go along with 4 assists, a steal, and a block. So, you know, he definitely popped the points and rebounds there, as he has all season. TJ Warren chipped in with 12 points. Not the greatest night, 2 of 8 from the field. Really having a down year from 3, 0 of 2 from there. 8 of 9 from the line, 8 rebounds as well, 1 steal, but that was really it for him. Miles Turner, really rough night for him. In 25 minutes, 5 points and 5 rebounds on 2 of 9 shooting, 1 of 4 from 3. Just a rough night altogether. And I'm not sure, you know, what that has to do compared to playing alongside Sabonis, but I mean, he definitely regressed there. And then Jeremy Lamb, 24 minutes, 12 points, 5 of 12 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, 1 of 5 from the line. Kind of uncharacteristically bad for him. four rebounds and nothing else really aside from there. And off the bench, I mean, the real big guy, the only guy really adding any value aside from TJ McCollum with 8 points and one assist on 3-9 shooting was Doug McDermott, who in 30 minutes got 17 points, 6-9 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, 6 rebounds, and one turnover. But he was really kind of the key cog off the bench. But what do you think on that, Adrian, really on just analyzing the Pacers from that fantasy perspective? Getting late.
Man, you covered that nicely. And I got to say, man, Sabonis is a beast. There's a small number of guys that flirt with like 20-20 games. Clint Capella, Andre Drummond, and Sabonis is like entering that group. I mean, 22 boards tonight with 18 rebounds, and 18 points. And I gotta say, man, he's really hurting Miles Turner. I mean, Miles Turner with 5 boards tonight, it's just... Sabonis is so aggressive. Miles Turner is a little passive, and Sabonis is really eating off of Miles Turner's plate. And man, I wish I was higher on Sabonis. Don't have him in any leagues. Don't have any stock in him. And I gotta say, I kind of hesitated and faded Miles Turner on draft day when it was announced in the offseason that Sabonis would be starting next to him, because I did kind of fear this effect. And we've seen in seasons past that Miles Turner is prone to having games like tonight. But I do gotta say, Corbin, in a categories league like a roto league, Miles Turner is still very valuable in that kind of setting. It's just, you know, like, I do have Miles Turner in one head-to-head league, and when you see lines like tonight, man, it's just such a bummer. Such a bummer.
It is. And I guess, like you said, it's kind of tight to kind of have a tight fit to have both of them, because one is going to cede some stats to the other when you have, you know, such a normally good front line. But you're right, all year it's just been rough for Miles, and this was kind of a tougher kind of stat line for him in general. But even then, yeah, if one's having a great night, it's rare that you're going to get both of them doing that. And that's kind of tough for fantasy.
Yep. All right, let's roll over to game 2, the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Boston Celtics. I figured this one was going to be a blowout, and actually a little bit. Oh, no, it was a blowout. 110-88, Celtics getting the victory. I'm going to check out the Cleveland side of this game. I'm going to start with one of the bigger surprises in fantasy, Tristan Thompson. You know, at the beginning of the season when he played well, I didn't believe it, and because I'm so used to Tristan Thompson just being a letdown, and so I didn't pick him up anywhere, and I had the opportunity, and now I'm regretting it, Corbin, man. 17 points, 11 rebounds, an assist, a steal. He just looks like, you know, he's locked and loaded as a nice double-double guy. 8 from 11 from the field, 1 of 7. You know, the shooting from the line wasn't great. You know, there's a lot of talk that Kevin Love could be on the move, which could maybe even open up some more usage for Tristan Thompson. So you got to be pretty excited if you have if you picked up Tristan Thompson off the wire. You know, Colin Sexton did not have it going tonight. Only 4 of 14 for 8 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. But he should definitely be owned in even standard leagues just for his scoring. And for the also the chance that the Cavs really go down in the tank and just unleash their youngsters even more, if that's possible. Kevin Love, again, a rumor of a lot of trades, did not have it going either. Only 3 of 12 for 7 points. You know, the Celtics, a very good defensive team, likely the reason why a lot of bad lines here from the Cavs. Love did have 10 boards, 1-3, but only 3 of 12 shooting, not great. Seti Osman, a guy who's kind of been coming on a little bit lately, you know, a very low-end guy. Even in standard leagues, I've seen him in the wire on a lot of standard leagues, probably even not worth picking up. And only tonight, 4 points, a steal, an assist, 1 rebound, so back to the low-end thing. Darius Garland, you know, even though this guy's been a little rough to start the season, I do think that as the season goes on, he could get better. You know, this is a guy who missed a lot of college last season, didn't really have an off season due to injury, so he's really starting slow, but I think this could be a guy around towards the All-Star break where he could be a solid value. And, you know, tonight only 9 points, two assists, two boards, 1-3 on 4 of 11 shooting. Man, really rough shooting from a lot of the Cavs here tonight. Jordan Clarkson, though, with a nice game off the bench. 19 points, 3 assists, 1 steal, 3 threes on 7 of 14 shooting from the field. He was 2-2 from the line. I'd like to mention, you know, Nance, definitely not a good game for Larry Nance. Only 20 minutes, 6 points, 7 boards, 1 assist. But I would definitely stick with Nance, especially, again, with the chance that Kevin Love could be on the move. Another guy in deeper leagues, Kevin Porter Jr., has flashed some upside. You know, tonight, not a big scoring night, only 9 points, but this is what I love. 3 steals, 1 block, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. A guy who can kind of fill it up all over the place, and a guy I'm keeping an eye on in deeper leagues. Let's see. Not much else to talk about here. Nobody else that I would trust. Corbin, any thoughts on the Cavs?
Not really. I was pretty well explained. And like you said, if there's any moves involving Love, I expect Thompson to get even more kind of, I mean, he already had 36 minutes tonight, more time for more production for him. But he's definitely someone I'm keeping an eye on as the trade deadline comes, as a veteran on an expiring contract. So that'll be interesting to see. But aside from that, I'll just roll on over to the Celtics.
Yep.
All right. So, I mean, it was well balanced for all the starting five for Boston. So we'll just start with Jaylen Brown. 20 points in 32 minutes, 9 of 15 from the 1 of 5 from the made his only free throw, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He's been really solid this year, especially coming up the last couple weeks. But in general, I mean, I think it's all about the haircut, but I mean, that's not any fantasy analysis there. It's just one theory. Alongside him in the backcourt, this time was Kemba Walker. 22 points in 29 minutes, 8 of 13 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3. Made his only free throw, not getting to line too much, but that's really kind of not his game there. 2 rebounds, 7 assists, to go along with the block. So, you know, really good production from him. Gordon Hayward, first night back. I would definitely take some time before kind of ushering him back in your lineups, but 14 points in 26 minutes, 7 of 10 from the field. Didn't really find his range from 3, 0 of 2 from there, but it's his first game back. 5 rebounds, 4 assists. I'd give it a couple of games, but I think he'll come back to running to the same form he had just before he went down with the injury. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. Daniel Tice, 10 points in 21 minutes, 4-4 from the field, 2-2 from 3, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 3 blocks. I put him in some leagues. I think that he's going to split time in that big position with Enes Kanter, but just defensively, I think he adds more value. He'll get more of the edge there. And then finally, just around the closing five, Jason Tatum, 19 points in 30 minutes, 7 of 14 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 11 rebounds. Really good for him to go along with 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So a little bit of everything. And yes, it's Cleveland, but it's good to get the stats stuffed, and that's just what he did. Off the bench, not really a whole lot going on there. Enes Kanter, 18 minutes, had 7 points, 3 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. I mean, I expect kind of similar production there. And then aside from that, really not too much going on at all. So I'm going to run that right back to you, Adrian. What do you think about the Celtics in general? I mean, the Celtics in general.
You nailed it, Corbin. I mean, not too much for me to add, but I got to ask you a question. You know, Jaylen Brown played well tonight, but with Gordon Hayward back, are you a little bit concerned that, you know, Jaylen Brown's been playing really good, really solid. Are you worried at all that a guy like Brown could take a hit with Hayward? And, you know, I'm really surprised it's in this first game back, Hayward got 26 minutes in a blowout game. So I don't think they're really concerned with him. You got any concern at all with guys like Tatum or Brown now that Hayward's back? Or do you think they can all, like, coexist together?
You know what? That is interesting you're saying that. I would really hope that Stevens can kind of find their rotations to match, because Jaylen Brown's been playing so well. But you're right. Not only do you have Gordon Hayward back, but he's also been playing so much. I mean, he already played so many minutes. And I think it was, hey, because it is a blow-up, let's kind of give him some minutes to really kind of force that runtime down. But that is something to keep an eye on. You know what? I'm going to say, yeah, just because you always have to be kind of concerned when you have a returning star player, a returning main piece to go along with, you know, has been playing really well, and how that will impact the whole starting five in the bench unit. But I'm gonna lean toward no for now. I think it's still gonna get a little bit of time for Hayward to work his way back, and Jaylen Brown's been playing so well that I just think you have to kind of keep going with what's working and ease Gordon Hayward in. And you know what? It was a blowout. I don't see anything unusual with having him play so many minutes because you need to kind of give him that time. And you're playing against a team that it was already a blowout. It was already going to be kind of a useless game, kind of fast track him. But aside from that, I'd plead caution.
I like that take, Corbin. And, you know, what a great problem to have reality-wise. The team, so I mean, they didn't even have Marcus Smart in this game. So, man, the Celtics are just loaded, playing good. They look great, man. 17-5 record. It's going to be really interesting playoff in the Eastern Conference with teams like the Sixers and the Bucks have been balling. So really exciting time in the NBA right now. All right, let's keep rolling. Let's go over to the next game. I think it was the Sacramento Kings and the Houston Rockets. And man, what a surprise. The Kings getting the victory at Houston, 119-118. This was a tight, close game. I'm going to look into the Sacramento side of this game first. I'm going to start with one of my favorite guys on this team because I picked him up off the wire in a lot of spots. Rashawn Holmes, also a HoopBall favorite. Rashawn Holmes, 16 points, 6 defensive stats with the 2 blocks, 4 steals, 8 rebounds, 4 of 7 from the field. You know, I love that every time I look at Rashawn Holmes' box score, he's like 6 of 9, 5 of 7, like doesn't kill you from the field goal spot. Love that. How's this 8 of 8 from the line? I mean, this guy has been outstanding. I think in like 9 category leagues, he's sitting on the player rater as like a second round value for a guy that you scooped up off the wire. Now, I know a lot of people could be worried about Marvin Bagley returning. I am not worried. Yes, maybe Rashawn Holmes does take a little hit because Bagley will be a high usage guy on the offensive end. So maybe we see Holmes' points dip a little bit. But I got to say, man, Holmes is one of the best rim defender, defensive bigs on this team. So I think that's going to keep him on the floor. I think he's going to start at center next to Marvin Bagley. Keep Holmes locked in your lineup. Don't worry about him. Corey Joseph had a nice game, 14 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 rebounds, 3 threes on 5 of 11 shooting. I don't really trust Joseph, though. He's been putting up some really low-end lines lately, so it's nice to see, but I would not make a move on that. Buddy Hield had a beautiful game tonight, 26 points, 2 steals, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 6 of 13 from downtown, 10 of 19 from the field. Just a great game from Buddy Hield. I was able to catch some of the end of this game. He knocked down some big shots down the stretch too. So really fantastic to see this from him. Another guy who's been kind of coming on, Barnes, 19 points, a steal, a block, 2 assists with 8 boards, 2 threes. Really love the all-around contribution from him tonight. A guy who's been really solid, Nemanja Bjelica. Now, tonight, outstanding. Last game he had, too, by the way, outstanding. 17 points, 3 steals, 4 assists, 5 boards, 3 threes on 6 of 14 shooting from the field. Perfect 2 of 2 from the line. You guys, the Bjelica party might come to an end when Bagley comes back. I think this is the guy who's going to see the biggest hit when Bagley returns. Look, Bjelica with 30 minutes tonight, I think this is going to drop down to the low to mid teens when Bagley returns. So, look, I would not drop Bjelica. Bagley, you know, we're not exactly sure when Bagley's going to return. We don't know if they're going to ramp Bagley back slowly. So Bjelica could still have some value for a little while. But long-term wise, if you could sell high on Bjelica, I would look to do that. Another guy that I like, even though he's coming off the bench, Bogdanović, you know, 32 minutes off the bench for 13 points, 1 assist, 3 rebounds, 3 threes on 5 of 11 shooting. I feel like he's still a guy worth having in standard leagues. I'm not sure what's going to happen to him when Bagley returns, but, you know, in this role, playing in the backcourt, coming off the bench, he could still see minutes in the high 20s, and I think in that role, he could still definitely be viable. So other than that, not a lot else to talk about. I don't trust Ariza. I don't really trust anyone else off the bench. We're still waiting for Fox to come back, and that could be a little while. So that's about all I got. Corbin, what do you think of the Kings?
I mean, you broke it down really well. I think we're on it tonight. I'm really a big fan of Rashawn Holmes and the production he's been giving. And like you said, even with Bagley coming back, there is value for Holmes. And I mean, with this type of production, then why shouldn't there be? Like, that's something else. So I'm impressed. Aside from that, though, not much to add. You already said there's not really a whole lot coming off the bench for Sacramento. And speaking of not a whole lot, well, actually, that's the opposite here. I'm going to take it down to Houston. And, you know, we'll start with the bench, you know, because we're already talking about him. Ben McLemore came up big, 33 minutes. Well, didn't really come up big. He played a lot of minutes. So he played big minutes. 33 minutes, 12 points, 4-13 from the field. Coincidentally, all of those shots were from three. So 4-13 from three. 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. And Garrett Clark off the bench as well. 11 points, 3 of 6 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, and 2 blocks as well. So you got a little bit of everything from the bench, but I wouldn't really bank on too much of that. Ben McLemore has been up and down, and really most of his value is coming from threes. Gary Clark has been in and out of the doghouse as well. For the starting five, I mean, we're going to start with the backcourt where most guys fantasy-wise has their players. James Harden, 27 points in 40 minutes, 8 of 19 from the field, 3 of 10 from 3, 8 of 8 from the line, 4 rebounds, 10 assists, and a block. Kind of did it all. You know, the efficiency is still kind of an issue there, at least from 3. But all in all, not really a bad game for him. Now, this guy I'm excited to get to because I have him in a few of my leagues, regrettably. But Russell Westbrook came to play, gave me a big boost. He came with a big game, 34 points in 36 minutes. Very efficient. 13 of 17 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. 6-7 from the line, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. I mean, I watched him in this game, and he was really making some high-level plays down the stretch to kind of give Houston a chance to really win this game with some big timely threes and some great passes. So that was good for him. And you know what? I mean, I'm still waiting for him in some, maybe not too deep leagues, but, I mean, his efficiency's been awful. I'm sure, you know, you follow the NBA at all, you kind of know that. But at least this game is an encouraging sign that there is some room to improve if he plays with himself a little bit more. Clint Capella, 37 minutes, 13 points, 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 6 from the free throw line, 17 rebounds. You know, he's giving you some points, he's giving you some rebounds, but really piling up those rebounds. Monster stats there. Daniel House, 11 points in 34 minutes, 4 of 12 from the field, 3 of 10 from 3, 1 rebound, 2 assists. And then P.J. Tucker, who's been so steady, came with a monster game. 10 points, not too bad. 4 of 10 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3. But get this, Adrian, 19 rebounds, 16 defensive, and 1 assist. So, I mean, you know, you're not getting too much of the points there, but he'll give you a decent 10 to 12 points. And those rebounds, man, that is a monster game for him. 19 big ones. But what else do you think about these Rockets, Adrian?
Man, Great. First of all, you covered everything there. And man, PJ Tucker with the 19 boards. I don't even care about those 10 points when he's giving you production in other areas. And, you know, unusual not to see any defensive stats for PJ Tucker. Usually he's good for like a steal or a random block. And I also love that he gives you some threes. Now, I picked up Daniel House in a bunch of leagues. I'm really happy to see him return, but I hope he kind of gets going a little bit. You know, I love that he scored 11 points, but the shooting not quite there, and usually he does a little bit better in like some of these other categories. So I'd really love to see Daniel House start rolling, because he was hot before he was on that little injury break there. So and then, man, I too, Corbin, pretty happy to see this game from Westbrook. You know, I talked to a lot of listeners on Twitter who were really bummed out on Westbrook. I think Westbrook's going to get better as the season goes on. Look, man, he's joining this new team. I think he's still adjusting to, you know, playing on this new team, being in a new system. I think he's going to get better as the year goes on, and I think his value is going to go up. I know he's sitting kind of low in 9-category leagues right now, but I think he's going to be good. So I'm really happy to see this game from Westbrook. Outstanding. All right, let's keep going, man. Let's go to the next game. I think the Orlando Magic and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks getting the victory 110-101. Not a big surprise here that Milwaukee getting the victory at home. Milwaukee is hot right now, man. 21-3. I want to say they're on a 15-game winning streak, but I'm pulling that up off the top of my head, so don't quote me if I'm a little bit off there, man. They are great. I'm going to actually, though, look in on the Orlando side of this game first. And you know what? I'm going to start with Evan Fournier, 26 points, a steal, 2 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 threes on 7 of 17 shooting, 8 of 9 from the line. This guy's been really good, man. He's been a surprise. I think a lot of people were expecting late round value, and he's been pretty good. So congrats if you got Fournier, because you likely took him pretty late, and he's definitely killing his where he got drafted. Aaron Gordon, you know, scoring wasn't great tonight, 3 of 12 from the field, but let's look at the positive side. 13 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block, a 3. So, you know, tough defensive matchup against the Bucks for Aaron Gordon, but I do like that he contributed in some of these other categories. Markelle Fultz, Corbin, I dropped Markelle Fultz at the beginning of the season after the first couple weeks when he was just putting up low-end lines of like 7 points with 3 assists and 2 rebounds. And I got to say, man, I regret dropping him. I wish I hung tight with him. You know, one of my biggest flaws, Corbin, I try to be really aggressive at the beginning of the season on the wire because I don't want to miss on these pickups, guys like Holmes and Devontae Graham and Daniel House, right? But by being so aggressive, I tend to drop guys too early, and Fultz is one of these guys, man. He had 13 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, you know, not going to ever really give you a lot of threes. Only shot 4 of 14, but I think this guy's going to improve as the season goes on. And I wish that I hung on to Fultz.
I feel that, man. I totally do.
Yeah. Now, we're still waiting for Vucevic to come back. So Birch is getting the start, but very low end from him. You know, I picked him up initially when Vucevic went down, but it just has not been going on with him or Mo Bamba, who only played 12 minutes tonight. So no one really to trust in that center spot until we see Vucevic guy back. But a big that you can trust is Jonathan Isaac. Now, didn't blow you away with the scoring tonight, but check out these stats. 5 blocks. Again, I'm pulling this off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure he's leading the NBA in blocks. And talk about, I think I said something earlier about a guy who's killing his ADP where he got drafted. Jonathan Isaac is like a first round value right now. What a stud, man. This is a guy next year I think we're going to be drafting like that first, second round turn or very beginning of the second round. That's how good this guy is, man. He also added 2 assists, 9 rebounds. I don't even care that he shot 5 of 13 from the field. This guy's locked and loaded. Congrats if you got Jonathan Isaac. Terrence Ross is the other guy that you could look to. 23 points and assists, 4 boards, 4 threes tonight on 8 of 14 shooting. It's a really good game from him. You know, DJ Augustine, a nice game, 13 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. I hope you don't have him rostered in standard leagues. Fultz is the guy you want to own there. And not too much else to talk about. Aminu, again, is out. Vucevic is out. Hopefully we see – I've read some reports that Vucevic is getting close. So I think we see him back pretty soon. Corbin, what are your thoughts on the Magic?
I mean, I'm very much impressed with Jonathan Isaac. What a stat stuffer that guy is. I was watching this game, and I'm just like, wow, 3 rebounds there. Okay, 2 blocks there. I mean, I saw every one of those 5 blocks through this game. Because that's kind of the game I had my eye on. And it was really cool to see him, mesmerizing to kind of watch the impact he brings. Like you said, while not really the biggest hand offensively, just the destruction he was able to wreak on other ends was just amazing. So aside from that, not too much, except I'm right with you on Markel Fultz. I dealt with another guy, another good point guard who I gave him early. And I was like, you know what? It's going to be fine. He's working his way back to form. It was Malcolm Brogdon. I don't even know what I was thinking. But this is why I'm pretty bad with the – I'm working on my fantasy end. Long story short, I regret that, and I'm totally feel your pain on Fultz. But I'm going to take it down to the Bucks side. One guy I do have on my team, and let me tell you, Adrian, I've been really working on really sprucing up my fantasy game. I'm on so many different leagues, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get it right, the free ones, because I'm trying to – you know, I know the analysis side, but the fantasy side is something I'm still really getting my hands on. I knew to get Giannis, and I'm glad I got Giannis. So – in 35 minutes, 32 points, 12 of 22 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. You know his free throw shooting is going to be kind of the hit there. He was 6 of 12, which isn't the worst thing. But for the volume that he gets to the line, you would hope it's a little bit better. But, you know, that's where he's at. But check out these rebounds. 15 rebounds and 8 assists, 1 steal and 1 block, and only 2 turnovers. So he was just an efficient monster as he's been all season. And just the points and rebounds statistics he provided are just great. Not to be undermined was a steady contribution by Chris Middleton in 20 points in only 29 minutes. 8 of 18 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3. 9 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. That was really it for him. Not too much for the rest of the starting five. Brooke Lopez with 9 on 3 of 7 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3. Only 3 rebounds, but 1 steal. But you know you're really getting for the 3-point shooting. He's so far from the basket. He'll, you know, the rebounds are kind of hit and miss for him. Eric Bledsoe, 6 points, 3 and 9 from the field, 0 and 2 from 3. 8 rebounds, 8 assists, so you got some value in other spots there. Wesley Matthews, 6 points, 2 of 6 in the field, 2 of 4 from 3, 1 rebound, 3 assists, so not much, low volume, but got some 3-point shooting again. Off the bench, 3 guys in double figures, Ersan Ilyasova with 11 points in 16 minutes, 4 of 5 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3, 1 of 2 from the line, 6 rebounds and a block. Dante DiVincenzo with 10 points in, Dante DiVincenzo with 12 points in 20 minutes, 5 of 8 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, 2 rebounds and an assist. And then George Hill with 10 points in 21 minutes, 4 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds and 1 assist. So kind of steady contributions there, and not really too much else. A couple missed threes from Korver and Connaughton. DJ Wilson didn't get any time, and that's really it for them. I guess I couldn't mention Robin Lopez in 14 minutes, 4 points, 2 of 8 from the field. Tried 4 threes, didn't really hit any of them. 1 rebound and 2 assists. But Adrian, what do you think about the Bucks and what's been going on with them recently?
Well, I don't got much to add from a fantasy standpoint, man. You nailed it. I just want to say that this team looks really good. You know, I knew the Bucks were going to be good, but I mean, they might be my favorite to come out of the East as of right now to go to the finals because, you know, not only are they so solid up front, their starters, they're pretty deep off the bench, man. They got like George Hill, DiVincenzo, Ilyasova, Robin Lopez, Connaughton, Korver. They got a nice bench, and now that you got a little depth, they're playing well. This team could really make a run at a finals this year. So, an outstanding team, and man, congrats on Giannis, because man, he must be. I don't have any shares of Giannis, but I gotta say, he's gotta be so fun to have on your fantasy team. He just puts up these big popcorn stat lines, and man, it is outstanding. Great, 25 years old, man. It's insane.
It's insane. It is insane. You said it. It's crazy how he just racks them up so easily, too. And like everyone else says, and I feel obliged to say the same thing, if he gets a consistent three-point shot, look out. It's over. Whatever apocalyptic description you can ascribe to the NBA if Giannis gets that three-point shot.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's keep going. This is Corbin, we're going at a nice pace, man. This is perfect. I think the next game up is the Detroit Pistons and the New Orleans Pelicans. Man, I really love that we got some close games. I hate it when all the games are blowouts because it really is like tough to judge for fantasy what the lines are in blowouts. So another tight game here. Yeah. The Pistons getting the victory 105 to 103. I'm going to look on the Detroit side of this game first. And, you know, surprisingly, not a lot of big lines here on the Detroit side. Blake Griffin with only 5 points, 4 rebounds. He only shot 1 of 9 in 34 minutes. 1 assist, 1 steal. You know, if you have Blake Griffin, I'm sure he's going to be much better in the next one. So just shake it off. A guy who's been spectacular, Andre Drummond, but even for him, this feels a little disappointing. 13 points, 10 rebounds without a defensive stat. So this is kind of disappointing for Drummond. Now, did shoot 5 of 6 from the line, so you love that he didn't hurt you there. 4 of 11 from the field. Kennard has been a pretty good surprise here on the year. 14 points for him, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, 1-3 on 5 of 12 shooting from the field. Let's see, who else? You know, Bruce Brown's a low-end guy. I've seen him rostered in some, like, deeper 14-team leagues, but in standard leagues, I wouldn't touch him. He had 8 points, 2 assists, and 7 boards tonight. Snell, not really worth owning, 6 points for him. A guy who is, Derrick Rose, even though he's coming off the bench, he's really their best point guard option. Happy that he's back and looks healthy. I mean, played 28 minutes here tonight, and the usage is great. Actually, took the most shots out of anyone on the Pistons team tonight. 9 of 17 for 21 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds. It's pretty good. Langston Galloway with 16 points, but, you know, in 20 minutes off the bench, most nights he's not going to be good and just give you a low-end line. Other than that, the last thing I'll mention, I really love Christian Wood, but in a backup off-the-bench role with minutes in the teens, mid to low teens, he's just really not going to be viable in standard leagues. But if the Pistons decide to go into tank mode, if they decide to move some of their starter guys, guys like Drummond, guys like Blake Griffin, I will be running to the wire to pick up a guy like Christian Wood. I think that's all I got. What do you think of the Pistons?
I mean, you nailed it on the Christian Wood talk. He has been such a stud. And to be honest with you, the NBA nostalgic guy in me was really hoping way back before the season started, when it was that final roster spot between Joe Johnson and Christian Wood, that Joe would get it, just because I wanted to see the good old days of, you know, the last relics of my young childhood back in the league. But Christian Wood has been so, so solid. And like you said, an absolute stud. So aside from that, not too much to add. Great Derrick Rose game, that's for sure, like you said. And Langston Galloway as well. You know, you're getting some shooters coming around here, and it's kind of making up for a pretty bad Blake Griffin performance. But I guess when you have that well-rounded team effort, you don't got to worry about that too much. Yeah, so I'm going to swing it on. Huh? Oh, yeah, my fault. I'm rushing the gun here.
Oh, no, that's okay. What went down on the Pelicans side of this game?
Okay, so as a Lakers fan, I got to start with one of my favorite ex-Lakers, Brandon Ingram, who also had the big game for New Orleans. 31 points in 37 minutes, 11 of 21 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 4 turnovers, but he has been so solid this year. I mean, I would have him. He's been especially solid from the 3-point line on better volume than he shot in his career, so really, really good for him. Offensively, just one of the candidates for me as the most improved player, to say nothing of having on your fantasy spots and seeing him blossom into this offensive force here. Aside from that, you had another double-figure score in Jrue Holiday. 20 points in 35 minutes, 10 of 21 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, and 0 of 4 from the line. So the stroke was kind of hit or miss. 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Uncharacteristically bad as far as the free throw line conversion rate and kind of missing all his threes, but he wasn't the only shooter who was cold. The coldest shooter would have been J.J. Redick, and not in a good way. 3 points in 21 minutes, 1 of 10 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, if J.J.'s not scoring or giving you threes, he's not really giving too much else. So the 4 assists wasn't horrible, but, I mean, it was really just a bad night for him. No way to go around that. Jahlil Okafor, 9 points in 22 minutes, 3 of 4 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds and an assist. And then Kendrick Williams, who got the start, 32 minutes, 2 points, 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, not too much there. Off the bench, Josh Hart at 12 points, 5 of 14 from the field, 2 of 10 from 3, 6 rebounds and 5 assists, so at least he gave you some rebounds and some assists. And, you know, double-figure shooting is fine. Efficiency sucks, but, you know, you'll take what you can get. Nikhil Alexander Walker, 3 points in 6 minutes, not too much there. Lonzo Ball, 6 points in 30 minutes, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. I would really love to see those assist numbers go a little bit higher, just coming off the bench and not really giving you too much scoring, but you got what you got there. And then Jackson Hayes being the main contributor off the bench with 13 points in 21 minutes, 4-7 from the field, misses only 3, but he was 5-8 from the free throw line to go along with 4 rebounds and 1 assist, along with 2 steals and a block. So really kind of got a little bit of everything from Jackson Hayes off the bench. But Adrian, what do you think of these Pelicans? I mean, just in general, you know, 6-18, not a great team, and they're kind of waiting for Zion, and we kind of knew they weren't going to be a great team as is. But do you see any studs that you've watched kind of come out the lineup or anything you've been impressed by?
I'm definitely impressed by Brandon Ingram. And Corbin, I know you and I are going to get along well, because I, too, am a Los Angeles Lakers fan. And I'm happy to see the success of Brandon Ingram. And, man, he's having an outstanding season. And I just, you know, the only thing I want to add, you pretty much covered everything, is I really want to see Zion. I'm just was hyped about Zion coming into the NBA, so I'm hoping that he comes back strong from this injury, and I hope he sets the league on fire, and I hope he helps this Pelicans team, because as you said, Corbin, not really a great team from a reality standpoint, only 6-18, 6-18 record for them, so I just can't wait to see Zion and see how he mixes in with this team, because, you know, even though reality-wise this team isn't doing good, they do have some nice fantasy options with Ingram and Holiday. I think Ball hopefully will get things going, so it's a pretty interesting team for fantasy.
Yeah, it definitely is.
All right, let's jump over to the next one, the Toronto Raptors and the Chicago Bulls. Another tight game, man. A lot of these games tonight going down to the wire. The Raptors getting the victory, 93-92. I'm going to take a look at the Toronto side first. First thing I'm going to mention about Toronto is I got Van Vliet in like every single league, and so my fingers are crossed that this is a minor injury thing with Van Vliet. I think it's being called a knee contusion. So, you know, I believe they're coming off of a back-to-back, so maybe they're just being cautious with him. Again, fingers crossed. Now, if Van Vliet does miss any time, it looks like Norman Powell could be your guy. He got the start, put up 17 minutes, 2 steals, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 1-3 on 7 of 16 shooting. The usage is there. 16 shots is pretty good for Powell. So if we hear Van Vliet's going to miss any more time, you can likely stream Powell. I'll say Pascal Siakam, 22 points, a steal, a block, 1 assist, 6 rebounds, 2 threes on 7 of 18 shooting, 6 of 8 from the line. You know, Siakam started red hot, so it feels like he's kind of came down a little, cooled off just a little bit, but he's going to be just fine. If you have Siakam, of course, you're just going to keep him locked and loaded. Kyle Lowry, really happy to see this guy back. I am slightly concerned. Lowry's an injury-prone player. 39 big minutes tonight, coming off a back-to-back. So, you know, this likely could be with no Van Vliet. Lowry's got to play some extra minutes. But, man, I really hope they don't, you know, wear Lowry out too badly, because we still got a lot of season left to go. Lowry had 11 points, 7 assists, 7 boards. You know, shooting wasn't quite there. It was only 3 of 15, 1-3. But don't worry, Lowry should be just fine. Mark Gasol, he's been a little disappointing, but I'll tell you what, tonight was a great night. 9 points, 6 defensive stats with 2 steals, 4 blocks, 5 assists, 9 rebounds. Really just contributing all over the board in this one. So I think if you've got Gasol, you're very happy with this line. Another guy that I like, he's been a little up and down of late, but I would be happy if I had this guy on my roster. OG Anunoby, 10 points, and this is why I love him. two steals, two blocks, two assists, five rebounds. It's just, I just love another guy that kind of contributes all over the place, and I love that he gives you some defensive stats. 4 of 9 shooting from the field for him, and so a great game. Serge Ibaka, you know, came off the bench for 19 minutes, now did take 11 shots, only made 3 for 11 points, but gave you 14 rebounds. No defensive stats, but usually good in the block category. I think he's still viable in a lot of leagues, maybe not shallow 10-team leagues, but for the most part, I think Ibaka's could be owned. Nobody else that I really trust on this team. Hollis Jefferson was a nice streamer when Lowry was out and when they were missing some guys, but now that this team's kind of healthy, Hollis Jefferson, Chris Boucher, can't really Terrence Davis, we can't really trust any of those guys with the Raptors now becoming healthy. Corbin, what do you think of the Raptors?
I mean, you broke it down pretty well. I mean, Marc Gasol was kind of the highlight for me. I really liked, like you said, a solid kind of number line all from him. 9 points, 6. You already mentioned the stat line, but just in general, just a really, really good line. So I have nothing else to add on that except that it's really good to see Marc Gasol playing that way. And guess what? If you have him, you know, you really, really liked it.
Mm-hmm. What went down on the Chicago side of this game?
Okay, let me run over that. Larry Markkanen, we're going to start with him, hasn't had the best year. 13 points, 5 of 14 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 1 of 2 from the line, 8 rebounds, 1 steal. You know, I mean, I don't know. As far as streaming him, I don't consider myself the authority on that, but I will say one thing, Adrian. I see that to you. But I will say, I mean, he hasn't had the best of years, so I wouldn't be too high on it. I mean, it's just been... it's been kind of a weird deal. I don't know if it's a lack of aggression or just inefficient in shooting. I mean, it's part of it, but it's kind of harder to figure that out. So I'm going to let that go. But, I mean, in general, just not the best. It's good to see him shoot some more shots, though, second on the team in attempts for the night. So that's at least somewhat reassuring. Wendell Carter Jr., 14 points in 25 minutes, 5 of 8 from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds and 3 assists. Solid game for him. Chris Dunn, not really great shooting in general. Oh, 3 points in 15 minutes, 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 6 from three, 3 rebounds and an assist. So, you know, he also had 5 fouls. So just not really a great game for him at all. Zach LaVine kind of really been the leading guy for the Bulls just in general. 20 points in 34 minutes, 6 of 18 from the field, 3 of 10 from three, 5 of 7 from the line, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, a little bit of everything. It's been mostly solid this year. Efficiency hasn't been the best, but you know what? It's been good for Chicago, just having someone to kind of lead the way there. And Tomas Satoransky, 10 points in 38 minutes, 4-8 from the field, 2-6 from 3, 3 rebounds, 11 assists. You're getting some good assist numbers from him. Steady shooting percentages. You kind of know what you're getting with him. Off the bench, Daniel Gafford really led the way, 14 points in 20 minutes, 7-9 from the field, 3 rebounds and an assist to go along with a steal and 3 blocks. Thaddeus Young, 5 points in 19 minutes, 2-3 from the field, 1-2 from 3 to go along with 1 rebound and 1 assist. And honestly, that was it. Kobe White played 30 minutes, did not really contribute much aside from 8 rebounds and 5 assists, which is pretty good, except that he went 0-7 from the field and 0-5 from 3. So if you're hoping for any points whatsoever, probably not the best night for you, but 8 rebounds and 5 assists, you can't really complain there. It's been rough for Chicago, Adrian, but what do you see that you like from them?
You know, I have to say, I know you mentioned Lauri Markkanen's rough start, but I gotta say, he has been playing better lately. And, you know, even tonight, only went 5 of 14 from the field, but I think this is a guy, you know, I mean, I don't know. I want to say buy low on him, but I wouldn't be giving up anything of value. I just want to mention, if you have Lauri Markkanen, I think brighter days are ahead. The other thing I want to mention is Chris Dunn has been a popular pickup in a lot of leagues. And, you know, tonight, foul trouble, 5 fouls in 15 minutes. So if you see in deeper leagues, 14 teams or deeper, if somebody is frustrated with Dunn and drop him, I think he could be worth a pickup. I think, you know, he was playing pretty good, and the Chicago Bulls have been better with him in the starting lineup. That's about it. Other than that, Corbin, man, Bulls, it's kind of ugly for Chicago. And then
yeah, it's been rough.
Yeah, let's jump over to the next game. Let's talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns they've been kind of a surprise this year. Now, even though they're only 10-12, I feel like they've played a lot better than how they looked last season. So a nice victory for the Suns, 125-109. I'm going to look on the Minnesota side of this game first. I'm going to start with Carl Anthony Towns. Big double-double, 33 points, 33 points, 15 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. A very efficient 12 of 18 from the field. He was 2 of 4 from downtown, 7 of 9 from the line. An outstanding game from Cat. One of the best players in the league. I think he's top 3 on the player radar right now. 23 points for Wiggins, 2 blocks, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 3 on 8 of 18 shooting, 6 of 7 from the line. Wiggins has been a pleasant surprise as well this season. I really like what I've seen from him. And, you know, a guy I picked up in some deep leagues, didn't really have it going here tonight. Josh Okogie, 8 points, 2 steals, 2 rebounds. But I love that he's starting. I'm talking about deeper leagues. In standard or shallower 10-team leagues, you can probably just ignore Josh Okogie. But I'm in some deep leagues, like 16 teams and deeper.
Oh, wow.
I picked up Okogie, and I'm excited that he's starting. Before this, put up 2 solid games in a row before this one. So I'm going to shake it off and hope that he bounces back in the next one. Robert Covington, he's been playing well. Tonight, though, not his night. Only shot 1 of 5 for 4 points. And really surprising, usually Bob Cove is one of these guys that can contribute all across the board, but tonight was not one of those nights. No defensive stats, no assists, only 2 rebounds, not even giving you a 3. So a down night for Lord Covington. Jarrett Culver, 6 points, 1 block, 1 assist, 6 rebounds. This is low end from him. You know, had foul trouble tonight. It only played 15 minutes due to 5 fouls. So stick with Jarrett Culver if you got him. I think this is a guy who is going to get better. Kind of similar to Garland when I said could improve as the year goes on. I think Culver could be one of those guys where, you know, at the All-Star break on, could be a solid asset. But right now in standard leagues, tough to rely on Jarrett Culver, but a guy that I like on my roster in some deeper leagues. You know, even though Jeff Teague is coming off the bench, seeing 28 minutes is great, and I love that he can destroy the second unit of other teams. So 16 points for Teague, 2 steals, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 3 on 6 of 14 shooting. Love that the usage is still there. The fact that he took 14 shots is great. So stick with Jeff Teague. Other than that, man, not a lot else. What do you think of the Timberwolves, Corbin?
I mean, again, we're just having that night. You broke it down really, really well. It was good to see a bit of a bounce back night from Cat, especially after the loss to my Lakers. Sorry, I had to let that fandom shine there for a second. But yeah, I mean, looking just at a big picture, they've been slipping a little bit, and shooting from three has been rough. But Jeff Teague has been on a tear as of late, especially since his move off the bench, and that's really been good for them. I think having some stability there, someone who can take some value shot making and a shot creation, and kind of really kind of command that offense from that spot, especially with Wiggins and Towns doing most of the work in the starting lineup. So not much to add there, but I will bounce over to Phoenix and kind of start with the big gun here, Devin Booker, who has been just very good this year, but also 26 points in 36 minutes, 11 of 20 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, only went to the line once, 1 of 2, 3 rebounds, or 4 rebounds, 7 assists, but just been really solid this year, and the Suns have just been really, really surprising. So it's no coincidence that Devin Booker is playing more within himself, scoring, you know, a little less than what he normally would, but also way more efficient. Really good to see that. Ricky Rubio has been a big part of that in the backcourt. 16 points in 33 minutes. 6 of 16 shooting, not great, but he did knock down both the threes he took. Also knocked down both the free throws he took to go along with 4 rebounds and 14 assists. So really led the way there. Especially from commanding the floor. Kelly Oubre Jr., 24 points in 33 minutes, 8 of 15 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 6 of 6 from the line, four rebounds. He's been solid all year. Aside from a couple clunkers of the game, I think we can depend on him in some leagues as well, just for some scoring. Couple rebounds, a little bit of everything there. Not too much of the assists, but whatever there. Dario Saric, 20 points in a little bit of a revenge game in 32 minutes on 7 of 11 shooting from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 4 of 5 from the line, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. And then Frank the Tank, 6 points in 10 minutes, 2 of 4 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Aside from that, 1 steal, great things come in twos for Frank, so solid to see that. Off the bench, got to go the young guy who led the way there. Well, first we'll go with the old vet. Aaron Baines, 12 points in 15 minutes, 5 of 10 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. Good for a couple points, a couple rebounds. Shooting that 3 was high volume and making it a pretty decent efficiency, so that's solid for him. Got to go to Cam Johnson, 10 points in 26 minutes, 4 of 8 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. A little bonus there. Mikal Bridges, 9 points in 32 minutes. 3 of 7 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Great game from him. Just a little bit of everything. Like a poor man's Jonathan Isaac as far as his contributions to the stat line there. And to be honest with you, not a whole lot else. So I'm going to ask you, Adrian, what do you think about this rising Suns team?
Man, I think the Suns have been a pleasant surprise, and I think Monty Williams is doing a great job there. And Corbin, they're missing a main piece in DeAndre Ayton, who we're going to get back soon. So this team could get a lot better. And, you know, one guy who I love, Kelly Oubre. I got to say, man, I kind of missed the boat on this guy. I thought he would be good, but I didn't think he would be this good, man. Tonight, 24-point effort with a nice line, and he's just been rock solid all season. Really good team, man. You got your go-to guy in Devin Booker. Ricky Rubio is like that perfect point guard role glue guy. This team looks really good, man. And then one last thing that I want to add. I picked up Baines in some deeper leagues where I'm desperate for center help. I think, you know, Baines only saw 15 minutes coming back from a calf injury. I believe they said they're limiting his minutes. I think eventually he's going to be the guy, not Kaminsky. But do note, this is a short-term thing, because when DeAndre Ayton comes back, Kaminsky and Baines are going to be dead in the water when DeAndre Ayton returns. So, but I did pick up Baines as a streamer in some leagues where I am desperate for some center help. So I think Baines, eventually they're going to ramp up his minutes. He's going to be the guy that you want until the return of DeAndre Ayton. All right, Corbin, let's jump into the next game. Man, we are rolling along. This is nice. The Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Utah Jazz. I actually laid down some money on this one because I thought the Jazz were going to beat the Thunder, and I lost some dough on this one, man.
Oh.
Well, you know what I was thinking, Corbin? I was thinking the Thunder are coming off of a back-to-back. They got to fly into Utah where there's altitude. I knew Danilo Gallinari was going to miss one. I was like, this is going to be easy money. Utah Jazz victory. I was wrong, man. So anyways, the Thunder get the victory 104-90. And I'm going to check out the Thunder side of this game first. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 20 points, 2 steals, 3 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 threes on 7 of 20 shooting, 4 of 6 from the line. I've heard some people mention that they're disappointed in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think this is another guy who's going to get better as the season goes on. And if at some point the Thunder decide to move on from Chris Paul, if they trade Chris Paul, we're going to see a major boost to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's value. So if you have him, I would hang tight and maybe even buy low, because I know a lot of people, because they drafted him, his draft price was a lot higher than where he's sitting on the player radar right now. So I know a lot of people are a little disappointed. A guy who's been really good, was very underrated coming into draft day, Chris Paul. You know, I saw him go pretty late in a lot of drafts. I'm talking like fourth round, but this guy's been great. 16 points, 3 steals, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, just filling it up all over. A little disappointed he didn't have a 3 tonight, was 0 of 4 from downtown, but shot 7 of 15. Still a pretty solid game from CP3. Steven Adams, this is what I like. Double-doubled, you know, the scoring, the usage a little low on the scoring side, only 4 of 4 from the field, but 11 points, 13 rebounds, and this is what I love, 4 blocks, 4 assists, shot 3 of 4 from the line. I'll take this line from Steven Adams. Nader getting the start, 10 points, 2 steals, 1 assist, 3 rebounds, 2 threes. It's actually a decent line from Nader if you're streaming him in some really deep leagues. Getting the start, though, for Terrence Ferguson. So when Ferguson is back, Nader, you know, likely just goes back to his bench role. Baisley getting the start, but I hope you're not playing him. Only 2 points for him. Did have 7 boards and a block, but, you know, only shot 0 of 2. So there's just zero usage there. A guy who's really nice. Actually, they got 2 guys that are nice off the bench. One, Dennis Schroeder, 27 points, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 threes on 11 of 21 shooting. The other guy I like off their bench is Nerlens Noel. Now, I am a little concerned that Noel is only now, you know, in this game only saw 17 minutes, and it seems like Steven Adams is starting to roll, but I would stick with Nerlens Noel. He still has value off the bench, even in like a 20-minute role, can flirt with the double-double and give you some blocks. So I really do like Nerlens Noel. 4 points for him, 4 assists, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. So other than that, again, missing Danilo Gallinari in this one and nobody else that I really trust in this one. What do you think of the Thunder?
I mean, you broke it down. They're such an interesting team, and I find them, especially from a fantasy's perspective, because I think a lot of it depends on whether you're kind of giving Chris Paul a lot of minutes and giving some of these vets some time, Dennis Schroeder being, you know, another one of those, not older vets, but just guys who would, you know, be getting more minutes or prominent minutes on a more prominent team. Or do you go with these younger guys and getting them more starts and prioritizing the development and how that impacts fantasy and the stats as well? So it's been really interesting. I think you did a great job, man. I find it definitely intriguing to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's development and also see how he impacts the box score. Darius Baisley's been interesting to me. And Nerlens Noel has had a renaissance year just kind of quietly for the Thunder, just in how he's been playing with some more freedom and some more minutes to really rehabilitate his value just in general. So it's been really solid there. Unfortunately, I am so disappointed by the Utah Jazz, who, I mean, as a Lakers fan, I always root for my team, but I really have the Jazz as being a really scary team this year, and at 13-11 they weren't. And I guess I'm gonna run through some of the reasons why just through the box score. One, Donovan Mitchell getting points, but getting them with the easy variety. Let's just say that 26 points on 25 shots, 10 of 25 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3. Rough, just rough shooting for him. He did go to the free throw line. He was 5 of 5 from there with 6 rebounds and 3 assists. So at least you got some value there. And the points, you know, they mean something. But just in general, that efficiency is horrible. Rudy Gobert played well, 19 points, 9 of 10 from the field, 17 rebounds, 1 assist. This won't show up on the box score breakdown, but he got totally bamboozled by a CP3 pass fake that had him spinning around, running the other direction as Chris Paul was rising up for about an elbow jumper. So, I mean, that won't show up, but I'm going to give him a mark for that because that's just foul. Joe Ingles not had the greatest year. 9 points in 34 minutes, 3 of 7 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals. So giving you some value with rebounds and being a playmaker. But just finding his shot has been rough this year. Although he has come up a little bit of late, it's just not been a great shooting year for him. Royce O'Neal has been even worse, at least for this game. 0 points in 26 minutes, 0 of 6 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 2 rebounds and 3 assists to go along 1 steal. So, you know, that's really it for him. And then Bojan Bogdanovic, 13 points, 2 minutes, 4 of 17 from the field. Yikes. 3 of 7 from 3, 2 of 3 from the line, 5 rebounds, 1 steal. And that is all they wrote for the starting 5. Off the bench, not really a whole much else to kind of contribute there. George Niang, 7 points, 3 of 7 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. 3 rebounds, and that was it. Especially since Rudy Gobert has been there, his minutes have kind of gone down. Same with Tony Bradley, he only got three minutes, but 6 points, so, you know, probably garbage time. And there is not a whole lot else to report on the bench at all, so I'm going to throw it over to you, Adrian. What do you think about the Jazz? They have been in a major slump as of late, and I'm starting to be concerned.
Man, I love your take on Donovan Mitchell. This is a guy who I was overly high on last year. I overdrafted him, burnt me, so I avoided him this year. I just was nervous about Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, even though still going to have some big scoring lines and whatnot, tonight is a night why looking at his line tonight reminds me that I'm happy that I just kind of faded him on draft day. I do want to mention they're missing Mike Conley. So, even though Mike Conley's not this mega stud anymore, but still a good defensive point guard. And so, you know, it definitely hurts them missing a guy like that. And I agree with you, Corbin.
Sure.
Like, I thought Utah Jazz, you know, when they added Mike Conley, when they added Bogdanovich, they kind of strengthened up their bench with guys like Jeff Green. I really thought that they would be a powerhouse in this Western Conference. So I'm really surprised to see them at 13-10 right now. So I don't know. You know, still fairly early in the season. I think we're rolling into week 8 right now. So still a lot of time for the Jazz to turn things around.
Corbin, yeah, definitely so.
Yeah. Corbin, we got one more game, but it's still going down. So I think we're going to get out of here for now. I'm going to return to do this last game solo. Corbin, I got to say, man, this is the first show I did with you. That was a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to talking to you every Monday night. That was great, man.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome, Major. I'm very much looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast with you, man. And I'm hyped. Thank you. This is awesome.
Well, Corbin, anything you want to plug? Where can the listeners find you at? Are you on Twitter? You got a Twitter handle that they can hit you up at?
Yep, I keep it pretty simple at CorbinNBA. So CORBAN and then NBA because you know I'm basic and that's really it. Got some stuff here of HoopBall and finding any other work and any other pods I'm really on. That's kind of my thing and that's it. Thanks a lot, Adrian. Again, this is awesome. I'm looking forward to meeting with you every Monday, having the dream team here. Well, great. Even coach, but me as the alternate.
Great stuff, man. You know, I think, unfortunately, I think we've lost coach on Monday night. I think, man, his plate is so full right now. He is the DFS master going full-time with the DFS stuff. I think he's got a daily pod amongst other things. So, Corbin, I think it's going to be you and me holding down the fort on Mondays. I'm really excited about it. We're going to get the listeners off to a hot start to get the week going. So I'm pretty excited about it, man. That was great stuff. You guys, thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. I will be back for the final game. The Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Golden State Warriors. As of right now, I think we're still in the third quarter there. So I'll wrap that one up on my own. Corbin, thank you again. And I'm looking forward to talking to you next week, man.
Definitely, man. Thank you. Awesome.
All right, guys. I will be back in a little bit. Okay, I'm back for the final game of the evening. The Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Golden State Warriors. The Grizzlies getting the victory in this one, 110-102. I'm going to take a look at the Memphis side of this game first. Going to have to start with Ja Morant. Very happy to get this guy back into my fantasy lineup, and he did not disappoint. 26 points for him, 7 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 3 threes on 8 of 14 shooting, 7 of 8 from the line. This is a really nice game for Ja. Really happy he's back. Let's hope that he can stick into this lineup. Next guy up I want to talk about is Jaren Jackson Jr. After a pretty rough start to the season, he's really starting to come around. A beautiful line from him tonight. 16 points, 3 blocks, a steal, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 threes. You know, he shot 6 of 14 from the field, but I just love the defensive effort in this one, and I think he's starting to trend upwards, and I hope he keeps that up. Dylan Brooks with a nice game, 17 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 threes on 6 of 12 shooting. Jonas Valanciunas with a nice double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. 2 of 2 from downtown, 5 of 7 from the field. He went 1 of 3 from the line. So with your starters back in the lineup, Ja Morant, Jonas Valanciunas, really tough to rely on some of these guys we may have been streaming, like Tyus Jones, De'Anthony Melton. These guys likely should be dropped pretty much all over the place with Ja now back. Hill still saw 30 minutes off the bench, but only shot 1 of 7 for 3 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, 1 block. And I think we can, in standard leagues, I think you can pretty much leave him alone. That's about it for Memphis. Let's jump over on the Golden State Warriors side of this game. You know, D'Angelo Russell had a really bad shooting night. 6 of 22 for 18 points. Did add a steal, 7 assists and 3 rebounds and 4 threes. Shot 2 of 4 from the line. Draymond Green had a nice one. 16 points, 3 blocks, a steal, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 3 on 6 of 13 shooting. He was 3 of 4 from the line. You know, I think if Draymond can string together a few more games, a few more quality games, I would be trying to move him if possible. Glenn Robinson, 4 points, 3 steals, 8 rebounds, only shot 2 of 7. And, you know, he's a really low-end guy. Maybe even in standard leagues, not even rostable. In, like, shallower 10-team leagues, should be left on the wire. But I know I have him in some deeper leagues and hoping for better lines. Willie Cauley-Stein, 17 points, 2 blocks, 1 steal, 2 assists, 8 rebounds. A really nice game from him. I think it's going to be tough to rely on him on most nights with, with Draymond back, with them hopefully ramping up minutes for Looney, although Looney only saw 10 minutes. I'm curious if Willie Cauley-Stein could still be viable with, you know, Looney hopefully on the rise and this team kind of becoming more healthy. I don't know if we could trust Willie Cauley-Stein in standard leagues. Another guy, Pascal, only shot 2 of 10 for 5 points here tonight, and 1 block. Tonight is one of those nights why, you know, the floor is fairly low for Pascal. Burks had a nice game off the bench. In 30 minutes, he got 18 points, 3 steals, 6 assists, 7 rebounds. And, you know, somebody in deeper leagues that probably should be rostered because of the potential to have nights like he had tonight. And really love that he saw 30 minutes off of the bench. Kai Bowman, I think he's a drop in most standard leagues with D'Angelo Russell back, but in deeper leagues, I'm still holding him because I'm curious if D'Angelo Russell gets moved or, you know, they decide. I would not be surprised if D'Angelo misses more time due to whatever minor injury. So Kai Bowman, I think, is a guy who could still stick on some rosters in some deep leagues. I don't trust Marquise Chris or Spellman, and nobody really else here. Pretty ugly for the Golden State Warriors, but we'll see how it goes. All right, you guys, thanks again for listening and for supporting the show. I want to thank Corbin again for his help on the show earlier. Had a really great time talking to him. Hope you guys had a good night for fantasy, and I hope you guys are doing all right in your leagues heading into this week. And thanks a lot, you guys. We'll talk to you later.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.